The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. I'm here to guide you on an excursion throughout which I believe you'll be very glad to have a guide, for the way is treacherous and horror waits around each turning.
Hi, Archie. Let me have a cup of coffee, will you? Hey, did you ever hear of anybody getting a free ride on the Long Island Railroad? You're looking at the man who did it. The conductor walked right past me. I had my ticket out there ready for him to punch, and he walked right past me. How about that coffee? Archie? You act as if you can't even see me.
Our mystery drama, The Master Computer, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Field and Farrington and stars Robert Dryden and Augusta Dabney. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. The touch, the height you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
It was big news last year when Buick introduced its free-spirited V6, an engine that's gutsy like a V8, but practical like a 6. Well, this year, we're putting that V6 into a brand new package, the full-size 1976 LeSabre. Think about that for a minute. A car with room and comfort for 6, a big trunk, lots of standard comfort and convenience, a car with all that, and V6 power, too. LeSabre, it's more free-spirited than ever.
Free-spirited.
V6 LeSabre, not available in California.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
There is only one hope for tomorrow, the children. Yet there are children in this world right now who have no hope for a brighter today. They're hungry, illiterate, living in misery, and when they grow up, if they grow up, they'll pass on this hopelessness. And it's the world's loss and the world's shame. You can help children to grow up with healthy bodies and educated minds, with a zest for life that they'll pass on to their children and to our world. Won't you please send a check to Save the Children Federation, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. Think about tomorrow.
We've got to save the children and save the world. Help them to grow.
Loneliness is a burden we've all borne in one degree or another. It throws us back upon our own personal resources, which, in the ordinary course of things, are sufficient to sustain us. But there's nothing ordinary about the loneliness we're going to deal with here, even though two people share it. This is loneliness, intolerably multiplied. Grace and Harry Clayton are returning from a pleasant summer vacation, but they're exhausted. They've driven in one day from Opaquit, Maine, to Newton, Long Island, the small suburban town in which they live.
You know something, Grace? I never realized how beautiful Newton is.
Well, I just want to crawl into the house and collapse. Oh, I hope I can make it to the bed.
One stop first. I want to pick up the mail at the post office and tell them they can start regular delivery again tomorrow.
Well, you better hurry, then. The post office closes at 5:30.
I'll make it, I think.
Oh, Harry, do you dread going back to work in the morning?
No, not really. Vacations have to end sometime. Otherwise, they wouldn't be vacations, would they? Oh, good. Parking right in front of the post office. You wait in the car. I won't be a minute.
I think that man's getting ready to lock up. You better hurry.
I'll catch him. Now, hold it a minute, will you? Just a couple of seconds. I want to pick up some mail you've been holding for me. It won't take a second. Do you hear what I said? Well, you could answer me at least. Well, I'll be damned. Why do people have to be so damn rude? He looked right through me. You'd think I wasn't even there.
Well, I can pick up the mail in the morning. Come on, let's go on home.
No, that's not the point. He might at least have had the courtesy to answer me.
Oh, I guess he was just doing his job. They do close at 5:30.
So, would it kill him to say, sorry, mister, I can't let you in?
Oh.
Hey, you want to stop somewhere for a bite to eat? You don't feel like cooking this evening, do you?
Well, I don't feel like stopping either. We'll open a can of soup.
This bread's moldy, Grace.
Oh, well, I'm sure there's some kind of crackers in the box. Oh, I've got just about enough energy to eat some soup and make one phone call.
What phone call?
Well, I thought I'd call the kids at the camp.
This evening? What for?
Oh, I don't know, really. I just feel like talking to them.
Okay. I've been worried about Benny's batting average myself. You go ahead and make the call. I'll heat the soup.
I suppose it's silly, but I just don't feel like any.
Camp Catcher, what?
Hello, this is Mrs. Clayton, Tim and Benny's mother, and I'd like to speak
Camp
to...
Camp Catcher, what?
Can't you hear me? I want to speak to either Tim or
Hello.
Benny.
Hello.
This is Mrs. Clayton. I'd like to speak to... Well, you hung up. Huh. Well, it must have been a bad connection. I could hear him perfectly well. But he couldn't seem to hear me.
We'll dial them again. Maybe you'll get a better connection this time.
Oh, I guess it's silly anyway. They're probably having supper. How's the soup?
Oh, good. Hey, I think I'll call Pete and Alma Rhodes.
What for?
Oh, just let them know we're back. No reason. I guess we both got telephonitis tonight.
Okay. Oh, let me talk to Alma before you hang up. Oh, soup isn't really as good as I make, but it's the spot.
Hello?
Hi, Alma. It's Harry. We're back.
Hello?
It's Harry, Alma. Can't you hear me?
Hello? Oh, I don't know why people...
I guess our phone's out of order.
Same thing? She couldn't hear you?
Yeah. I'll report it to the phone company tomorrow from the office.
Oh, what if somebody tries to call us tonight?
I'll be very glad the phone's out of order. What the devil's... Hey, Grace... Did you turn the water off?
I can't hear you. Wait till I get my robe on.
Did you turn the water off, Grace?
Turn the water off? Of course I didn't.
Well, it is off.
Oh, it can't be. The shutoff valve is clear down in the basement. I haven't even been down there since we got home. Neither of you.
Well, look at it. No water.
It must be out of order.
How can the water be out of order? Unless there's a broken main somewhere.
Well, then there must be a broken main somewhere. Why don't you call the water company and... Oh.
Yeah. The phone's out of order. And I'm going to be out of order myself if I don't get some coffee pretty soon.
Well, there must be... Oh. Well, there ought to be enough ice cubes in the refrigerator to melt down so we can make a couple of cups of coffee.
Hey, you know what? You're a genius.
Oh! Harry!
Well, now what?
Everything's melted. Every single thing in the freezer. Oh, just look at that mess.
Oh, for Pete's sake, what next?
Oh, that refrigerator isn't even a year old yet, and...
Wait a minute. No lights. We've got no electricity.
But that's... What's going on here, Harry?
I don't know.
Well, I don't see how everything could go out of order. I mean, all at the same time.
Well, look, I don't have time to check it out. I've got a train to catch. I'll get some coffee later.
Well, what am I going to do all day in this house where nothing works?
Go down the block and see Alma. She'll give you some coffee, and you can use her phone to call... I'll see who it is.
No. You'll miss your train. I'll go.
You had a look at your hair this morning?
Huh? Oh, Okay, you go. I won't be a second. It's probably Alma anyway.
I'm coming.
Good morning. You're Mr. Clayton, aren't you? Harry Clayton?
Yes.
My name's Handy. May I come in?
Well, what is it? I was just leaving.
I understand you've got some trouble here.
Yeah, we've got trouble, all right. Are you from the phone people or the water or the electricity? They're all out.
As a matter of fact...
How did you find out? Did somebody report it?
It was reported, in a way. May I come in?
I guess you'd better. Grace, I was just getting ready to leave. If I miss the 8:12, I can't get another one until, half hour or so.
I think it just might be better if you didn't leave just yet.
Is it Alma? Did you tell her... Oh.
Grace, this is Mr.
Handy. I'm very happy to know you, Mrs. Clayton.
Mr. Handy's from the... Where are you from?
I came just as soon as I could get here when we heard about the trouble. If you'll just...
Oh, are you going to fix things? You know, nothing's working. The water or the telephone or... And my freezer is just a mess.
Wait a minute. You can't be here to fix all three of them. Which company are you from?
The fact is, I'm going to ask you both to come with me. We can get this whole thing straightened out in no time at all.
Come with you? Well, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, it does, really. I suppose it sounds a little strange, but...
Come with you where?
Good question.
It's a matter of computer malfunction. You know how things can get fouled up. You can't really blame the computer, I suppose. It must have been improper programming or... I don't know. It's never happened before, and I'm very sure that it will not...
What good's it going to do our coming with you? I don't know anything about computers. I'm a copywriter, advertising copy.
Nothing to do with that, actually. If you'll just...
Come with you where?
I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to tell you that. Not just yet.
I think you'd better just leave, Mr. Handy.
You won't come with me?
We will not.
If you'd tell us where you want to take us, and maybe...
Forget it, Grace.
Oh, dear. I'm sure I don't know what's going to happen now.
You're going to get out of this house and off this property. That's what's going to happen.
All right. I just hope... All right, I'm going...
Now.
I think you missed your train, Harry.
So? I'll take the next one. And if that kook shows up again, don't let him in. Archie, let me have a cup of coffee, will you? I haven't even had my first cup this morning, and I'm dying. Did you ever hear of anybody getting a free ride on the Long Island Railroad? You're looking at the man who did it. The conductor walked right past me, had the ticket out there ready for him to punch, and he walked right past me. Hey, how about that coffee? If I don't get it soon, Archie, you act as if you can't even see me.
Anybody home? Alma? It's Grace. Where are you? Oh, hi, Alma. You know, we tried to call you last night, but our phone seems to be out of order.
Now, I could have sworn I heard that screen door slam.
Hey! Oh, it's me. I slammed the door.
Oh, those rotten kids. I swear, one of these days...
Alma, come on. Don't play games. Are you sore at me or something? What's the matter with you, Alma?
Rhodes Hardware.
Pete, it's me. I'm sorry to bother you with the store.
Oh, that's okay. No business yet. What's up?
Well, it's those neighbor kids again.
Oh, boy. What have they been up to now?
Well, they were... Well, they slammed the kitchen door. It must have been the kids.
Alma, it was me. I slammed the door.
I don't want to scare you, but are you sure there's nobody in the house, honey?
Oh, there couldn't be. I came right out to the kitchen, and there's nobody here.
Alma, what are you trying to do to me?
Okay, I'll speak to their parents again this evening. Any sign of Grace and Harry yet?
Oh, no. And I'm getting kind of worried. I know they wanted to get home yesterday. Harry was supposed to go back to work this morning.
Alma, listen to me, Alma.
Maybe they decided to take an extra few days or something. I wouldn't worry. You lock the doors now, you hear?
Yes, I will. Bye.
Alma,
Please.
Oh, I wish I knew what happened to Grace and Harry.
Alma, I'm here. I'm here in the kitchen with you.
Well, I guess they can take care of themselves.
Helen. Helen, I'm back. Listen, will you knock it off with the typing and look at me for Pete's sake? I'm Harry Clayton. I've been here almost 3 years, and you... Damn it, look at me. Stop that typing. All right, if you won't talk to me, maybe Dave Green will. Listen, Dave, I want to know what's going on here. I walked into the office where I've been working for 3 years,
what
and she...
What the devil? Helen, why did you open this door?
Open the door? No, Mr. Green, I've been sitting right here.
Honey... Okay, get Mr. Bradwell on the phone. Tell him it's about the Ocean Mist account.
Listen, Dave, I've had just about enough of this.
How could it blow open? There's not a breath of air in this place.
Come on, Dave, a joke's a joke. You know perfectly well I'm standing right here beside you.
Yes. Oh, how's it going, Ernie? Listen, about that Ocean Mist copy. I know, but Clayton hasn't come in yet this morning.
Dave, for Pete's sake!
Oh, he'll be here, all right. He's a dependable guy. Let's give him another day. He may have had some kind of car problem, you know. He's fast. We won't lose any time waiting. Don't worry. He'll show up. Or he'll be good and sorry.
Is it possible for a man suddenly to become invisible to the people around him? Unable to make himself either seen or heard? Well, it certainly isn't ordinary, but since it seems to be happening to Harry Clayton and to his wife, Grace, it must be possible. Imagine the feeling of total isolation. Imagine the loneliness. I do hope you'll be able to hear me when I return shortly with Act Two.
Now, People's year-end double issue is here with the 25 most intriguing people of the year. From Betty Ford to Dolly Parton, from Woody to Cher, Patty Hearst to Jerry Brown. They're all here in this special double issue of People, the winners and losers of 75, and people to watch for in 76. Jacqueline Streisand, Katharine Hepburn and Audrey II, Doris Day and Rudolph Nureyev, plus a squad of Olympic hopefuls and a line of first ladies in waiting. It's the biggest, most exciting issue of People ever. Pick up a copy today.
This is Anita Bryant. Performing is a very exciting part of my life, and I also love coming home to a caring husband and four active, growing children. I count being a wife and mother as one of my most challenging opportunities. I'm glad to be a wife, and I feel good being a mother.
You are a worthwhile person. Cultivate your God-given talents as you choose your lifestyle. This affirmation of women shared by the Mennonite churches.
Share a ride with a friend. Share a smile when you're round the bend. Let somebody brighten up your day.
Share a ride with a friend. Drive together and the time you spend will speed along as you go your way.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up every day. It's a better way.
Talking about the latest style, we've passed the wave a mile. Glad that I'm not driving home alone.
Talking about the game last night, a guy made a play that was out of sight. It's nice to talk to someone going home.
Double up every morning, double up going home at night. Double up every day, it's a better way. You're gonna have more fun together.
Driving alone.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
Something has gone terribly wrong in the usually quiet lives of Grace and Harry Clayton. They find, first of all, that their telephone, water, and electric services have been cut off. And then, worse still, far, far worse, they find that they themselves have been cut off. Cut off completely from the comfort and warmth of human interchange. Other people, friends and strangers alike, are unable either to see or hear them.
Grace.
Grace, honey, what are you doing sitting out here on the curb? Grace, what is it? What's happened?
Al was mad at me. She won't speak to me. Just act like I'm not even there.
Well, what are you doing sitting out here on the curb?
No, I locked myself out. I took my purse, but I can't find my key in it, and I can't get in the house.
You say Alma acts as if you're not even there?
Yes, and I think it's mean. And I told her so.
The same thing's happening to me, Grace.
Alma's mad at you, too?
I mean, people don't see me or hear me when I speak. The counterman at the diner, Helen, the receptionist at the office, even Dave Green, the copy chief.
But why should everybody be mad at us all of a sudden?
I don't think they are, Grace. I think they really can't see or hear us.
Really? Can't? Oh. But that is impossible. Is it?
I would have said so yesterday. I'd have laughed at the idea, but today, it's happening.
I don't see how it's possible.
If it's happening, it's got to be possible. Let's go in the house. I haven't got them.
Your keys? They're right there in your hand.
Not the front or back door keys. How could they have got lost off the ring?
Oh, they must be there.
No. They've gone. I had them last night. We got in all right last night.
Oh, dear. Should we try a window?
Now they're all locked. Hey, I've still got the car keys. We can... What, go to a restaurant? No, we can't order.
I'm not hungry anyway. Are you?
No, I'm not. Now that you mention it. Well, we've got to go somewhere. We can't just stand here.
Harry, let's go and try Pete and Alma again.
I can tell you right now, it won't work. And it's not an experience I enjoy, being treated as though I don't exist.
But we could try once more, couldn't we?
If it'll make you feel better, sure.
Emma?
Out in the kitchen, Pete.
You hear anything from Grace and Harry?
No, not a word.
Hey, what's that smell so good?
Oh, just plain old stew.
Love it.
Well, how was your day?
So-so. Better than yours from the way you sound.
Well, I can't get Grace and Harry off my mind.
Well, it is funny they didn't call or something if they decided to stay over at the lodge for a while.
I just... Now, don't laugh at me, Pete. I almost felt as if Grace was here.
Hmm?
Right here in the house with me.
Oh, come on now.
I could have sworn. You know, right after that screen door slammed. Honestly. I could have sworn I heard her call my name.
I bet you a quarter if we called, they'd be right there in the dining room at the lodge having a drink before dinner.
Oh, could we?
Could we what?
Call the lodge and see if they're still there.
Well... Sure, if you want to. Sure, why not?
I've got the number written down here somewhere. Yes, here it is. 2, 4, 6. Hey, keep your eye on the stew. Don't let it stick.
A pleasure. Tastes about ready to me.
Is this the Poquit Lodge? I'd like to speak to either Mr. or Mrs. Harry Clayton, please.
Is that quarter bet on?
Quarter bet? Oh, okay. You win if they're there, and I win if they're... Yes? Oh, I see. Well, can you tell me when they checked out? Yesterday morning. Early yesterday morning. Yes, well, all right. Thank you. Well, you heard what he said.
Yeah, but it's a long drive. They most likely decided to stop at a motel last night.
Okay, but why aren't they back now?
They've had the whole day off to drive half the distance from Apoquet if they stopped at a motel last night.
I don't know, Alma. Hey, what do you want to bet that's Grace and Harry right now? I'll go see.
Oh, if they just got in, tell them there's plenty of stew here for four.
Anybody here?
Is it them, Pete?
Rotten kids.
Who was it? Wasn't it Grace and Harry?
Kids next door ringing doorbells again, I guess. There wasn't anybody there.
Pete, I've got the funniest feeling.
Serve the stew, Alma. What you need is some good, solid food.
The funniest feeling, like they were here.
There must be something we could have done, Harry. Something to make Pete realize that it was us ringing the doorbell.
I don't know what. It's the most frustrating thing that ever... Come on, get in the car, Grace. I don't know what's happened to us, but I do know that things don't go the way you expect them to anymore.
I'm scared, Harry. Scared.
So am I. Ah, the car goes. That's something, anyway.
Harry?
Yes?
Can we drive up to Camp Catchawa, see the boys?
You sure you want to?
Oh, yes.
What if they can't see us or hear us, like everybody else? What if they don't even know we're there?
But surely, surely the boys. After all, we can see each other.
Yes, but we don't know why. All right, we can try it, I guess. We've only got about a half tank full of gas, though.
Well, there'll be plenty of gas stations along the way.
So? For one thing, I don't have much money, $6 or $7. And I don't know any way to get any more. And if I had $1,000 in my pocket, how would I go about getting a gas station attendant who doesn't even know I'm there to put gas in the car?
I don't know what to do, Pete. They didn't stay on at the lodge in Apoquet. They checked out yesterday morning.
Well, they could have decided to go somewhere else. I mean, is it really any of our business?
Pete, they're our friends.
Okay, okay.
I don't like the looks of it either.
I think we ought to call the police.
Now, look, Alma, you don't call the police and say you have a feeling something's wrong. They don't operate that way. They'd write you off as a crackpot.
Well, maybe they would. Maybe I am a crackpot, but I do have this feeling. Well, they can write it off if they want to, but I can't.
Well, all right, all right. If you feel that strongly about it, I'll call them.
No, I'm the crackpot. I'll do the calling. What do I do, Pete? Just dial the operator?
516.
Uh-huh.
0000.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Now, if you'd rather, I talk to them.
No. I'll do it. Hello? Police headquarters? I want to report what I believe is a missing person. Two missing persons. Their names? Harry and Grace Clayton. Yes, they live at 145 Hillside Avenue here in Newton. My name is Alma Rhodes. I live just down the street from them at 141 Hillside. Well, you see, they've been away on vacation. They stayed at Apoquet Lodge in Apoquet, Maine. Well, they were supposed to be back home sometime yesterday. And, well, they haven't come back. Yes, we tried the lodge. Yesterday morning. Yes, the clerk said they checked out yesterday morning. Well, I suppose it doesn't sound like much to you, but... Oh... Oh, yes, that's what I thought, too. Well, will you let us know, no matter what you find out? Oh, thank you, officer. That's very good of you. There, you see, Pete? He said I was right to call.
I don't think this station's open, Harry.
Well, we're running pretty low on gas. Maybe they don't lock their pumps.
Isn't there a light in that window around there on the side?
Huh? Oh, yeah, looks like it, huh? Okay, I'll go around, and if there's somebody there, I'll offer to buy $6 worth of gas. And if there isn't anybody, or if he doesn't hear me, I'll just help myself.
Well, I don't know whether to come with you or wait here.
Wait here. I won't be long. Hello there. I'd like to buy some gasoline. $6 worth of gas if you're open for business. If you don't sell me $6 worth, I'm going to steal a whole tank full. Okay, if that's the way you want it.
Did you talk to him?
Yeah, sure I talked to him. He didn't answer me, of course, but I talked to him. He may have been asleep. He was leaning back in a swivel chair with his eyes shut.
Well, didn't you shake him or anything?
No. No, I didn't want to touch him.
Hmm?
Wait a minute. Let me see if I can make this pump work. Ah, it works. It turns itself off when it's full.
Harry?
Yes?
Why didn't you want to touch him?
I don't know. I've been thinking about that. I haven't felt like touching anybody all day. On the train earlier, I kept dodging and ducking so I wouldn't touch the other passengers.
Why?
Well, I guess I don't really know. Maybe I was afraid that they wouldn't feel it if I touched them.
But you picked up the pump hose and put it in the tank. I mean, if you could do that...
Yeah, I know.
Let's go, Harry.
As soon as the tank's full. See, the gas hose is a thing. I'm afraid to touch people. I'm afraid to.
I'll get it.
It could be the police.
I'll get it anyway, Alma. You've already done your part. Hello? Yes, Mr. Rhodes. Oh, yes, Sergeant. It was my wife who called you earlier. Well, I don't know exactly. I'd say early 40s. Maybe she's in her late 30s. Oh, Lord. Well, no, that doesn't seem likely. Well, yes, I guess we could do that. About 20 minutes. Yes. And thank you very much, Sergeant.
Have they found them?
Well, they don't know yet. There was an accident yesterday afternoon, just the Manhattan side of the Cross Island cutoff.
Oh, no.
Now, wait, please, Alma. They don't know yet. Two people, a man and a woman, were hurt. But they didn't have any identification on them. Now, that doesn't seem likely, does it? I mean, that Grace and Harry would travel without identification?
Are they... I mean,
they're still
are
alive,
they...
but it looks bad.
Oh.
They want us to come over to Union Hospital and make an identification, if we can.
Harry, are you sure you made the right turn back there?
I've driven this road 100 times.
Harry?
Huh?
You remember that man who came to see us this morning? What was his name?
Handy. Mr. Handy.
Yes. I wish we'd gone with him. Wherever it was he wanted us to go.
Maybe. Didn't seem like a very good idea at the time, though.
But at least he could see us and hear us.
Yeah, you're right. Come to think of it, he's the only one who's been able to all day.
Harry.
Yes?
Do you... want to know what I think has happened to us?
All right.
I think we're dead.
The most perplexing mystery of all, death. Philosophers have devoted lifetimes to puzzling over it, and the best they've come up with is pure surmise. It is, to be sure, the cessation of life as we know it, but few of us can believe that it represents the absolute end. There must be a continuation. And in the nature of this continuation lies the mystery. Are we nearing a solution? Well, one solution, perhaps. We'll see when I return shortly with Act 3.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs, and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Hi, this is Tony Orlando.
And Dawn.
Thelma.
And Joyce.
Talking to the...
Tony Orlando and Dawn are talking to people who have found bright new careers by going to technical school. Joyce?
So here's Fred Parm, almost 40, can't walk, and without a job. What did you do, Fred?
Fred went back to school. He took art.
I could draw before I could write, so I tried illustration.
Well, how'd you do?
Fine. I'm now employed as a technical illustrator.
If you don't like the work you do, learn to do the work you like. Get a free Tony Orlando record. You can be more than you are. And the facts on how you can learn to do the work you like at technical school. Write Careers, Box 111, Washington, D.C., 20044. Careers, Box 111, Washington, D.C., 20044.
Going back to school was a good idea, wasn't it, Fred?
Just like a second birth, Joyce.
This was a public service announcement of this station, the U.S. Office of Education, and the Advertising Council.
In the rest of the world, Grace and Harry Clayton have apparently ceased to exist. Although they move about among people as they have always done, these people are now quite unaware of their presence. Grace has come to believe that they are actually dead and that the mysterious thing that has happened to them is life after death. They're on their way now to see their two boys, Tim and Benny, at Camp Kachawa. They suddenly feel a great need to do this.
No, I don't think so.
Don't think what, Harry?
That we're dead. I mean, would it be like this? Is this just this what it's all about?
Well, then what is it, if it isn't death?
I don't know.
Could it be some kind of an in-between thing? I mean, like purgatory or limbo or oh, I don't know what you'd call it. But could it be something like that?
It could be anything. It could be... Oh, I make a right here, don't I?
Mm.
Won't the boys be in bed by now?
I don't care. We can go into their cabins and well, we can look at them at least. Nobody can keep us from doing that.
No. You think it's for the last time, don't you, Grace?
Yes.
You stay here in the waiting room, Alma. I'll go in and see them.
I ought to go in there with you. If I weren't...
What would be the point? In case it should be Harry and Grace, it wouldn't help matters for both of us to have to see them.
Pete?
Yes.
It is Grace and Harry?
Yes.
Are they...
They're still alive. Doctor says he doesn't see how it's possible, but they're both still alive.
Is there any hope at all?
Well, there's always hope. I'm quoting the doctor.
I don't understand about no identification.
Yeah, neither does anyone else. There just wasn't anything in his pockets or her bag either.
Could they have been robbed?
I don't think there was time. Look, I told the doctor we'd wait, but if you'd rather...
No, I want to stay. The only thing is, I think I'm going to cry.
Now, you go ahead. Maybe I will, too.
Oh,
the office? Why are you stopping at the office?
Well, maybe the counselor will talk to us. Well, he might. Just because we...
You know better, Harry.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, we don't know what cabin Tim and Benny are in. They must have a record of it somewhere in the office.
Tim wrote that they have a little cabin all to themselves.
These prices, they should have room service. If you're right, what about the boys?
I don't know. My sister, I guess, and her husband, Alice, and Fred, they'll be good to them, and... Oh, Harry.
Honey, we don't know. Not yet. We're not sure.
Okay.
Good evening. We're Mr. and Mrs. Clayton, Tim and Benny's parents,
yes,
and...
Yes, Clara there. Yeah, this is John Finch.
I'm sorry to bother you while you're on the phone,
He doesn't hear you, Harry.
Hey, Clara, how's it going? Yeah, I'm stuck here tonight, you know, just waiting for the phone to ring or whatever.
If you could just take a second or two and tell us which cabin Tim and Benny Clayton
we'll
are in,
we'll have to find it for ourselves, Harry. He doesn't know we're here.
Right. Let's check this filing cabinet.
So as long as I got this place to my... What the devil? Hey, just hang on a minute, Clara.
Health charts, these look like.
Who did that? Now, wait a minute. Who's in here?
This could be it.
Yes, Arnold, Barlow. Yes, yes, here it is. Clayton, Timothy, and Benjamin.
Oh.
Cabin number 7.
Oh, wait a minute. Put that folder back in there and... Oh, Lord.
Let's go, Grace.
Clara? Hey, Clara, something screwy's going on here.
Can you read the number on the door there? It's so dark.
Yes, this is it. Number 7. Are you going to try to talk to them, Harry?
We'll see. There must be a light switch somewhere. Oh, here.
Oh, they look... They look like angels when they're asleep.
All kids do. You don't have to whisper.
Oh. Habit, I guess.
You want to try to wake them up?
No. No, I think I'd rather not.
Look at that tan on Benny. He's been living in the sun. Yeah, I think it's bleached his hair some, too.
Oh, Tim's got a big scrape place right on the end of his nose. Oh, Harry.
I think we'd better get out of here, Grace.
Not just yet, please. It might be the last. Can't we stay for just a little while?
All right. We'll have to go eventually.
Benny's... Oh, Benny's been biting his nails again.
Mr. Handy, will you come in now?
Yes, sir.
I'm sure you know why you're here, Mr. Handy.
The Clayton situation, of course. I'd just like to point out, though, that if the computer hadn't malfunctioned...
We managed for a good many hundreds of years before we had the computer, you know.
Yes, sir.
The situation as it stands is quite intolerable. We've lost them.
Lost them?
They wandered away. Drove their car, I believe. And the computer, even now in good working order, hasn't been able to locate them.
Oh, dear.
Yes. You made contact this morning and then let them get away. Isn't that true?
They wouldn't come with me, sir. They absolutely refused.
Well, it's still your assignment.
My assignment?
Go and find them, Mr. Handy. Go and find Grace and Harry Clayton.
But if the computer can't find...
Then you must.
Pete, what did the doctor say?
They're gone, Alma.
Oh, Pete.
It's a blessing, really. They were so... They were just too badly banged up. Brain damage in both cases and just too much. Well, we've got to call Grace's sister. You want to, or shall I?
No. I'll do it.
Now what?
Are we out of gas?
No. Not according to the gauge. Damn thing just stopped, that's all.
What are we going to do now, Harry?
I don't know. Just sit here, I guess. Or get out and walk in the fog. I don't think it matters much.
But we can't just leave the car sitting here in the road like this, can we?
How long since we've seen a car, Grace?
Well, not for a long time.
Listen.
For what?
Just listen. Do you hear anything? Anything at all?
Well, it's nighttime. A foggy night. Nobody...
No frogs. No crickets. Absolutely nothing.
It's scary. With the fog. Everything.
Yeah. Especially everything.
Mr. Clayton! Mrs. Clayton!
Yes! We're here. We're right here. Do you think it's Mr. Handy, Harry?
I don't know. Somebody knows we're alive, at least. Or that we're not.
Is it you, Mr. Handy?
Yes, it's me. Don't go away. Oh, my goodness, what a time I had finding you. You shouldn't have left the house.
Oh, we couldn't get back in. We both lost our keys some way.
Yes, well, it doesn't matter now, does it?
Mr. Handy, are we dead?
Yes, you are now. The computer's been fixed.
What's a computer got to do with it?
You see, when the truck crashed across the divider and hit your car on the way home from Maine, you know, just at that moment, the computer malfunctioned. It didn't record your deaths. So, well, of course, you weren't properly dead or properly alive either, and all sorts of things went haywire. We're really terribly sorry.
So that's how it was. It seems so strange. We didn't even notice.
It was instantaneous, or would have been, except for that miserable computer. You've been in a coma while we got it repaired.
So, what happens now?
Well, you aren't going to make trouble about coming along with me this time, are you?
Oh, no, no, not this time.
Oh, good, that's fine. Then everything's all right.
Except, we have two children, you know, Mr. Handy.
But they're provided for, aren't they?
We'll never see them again.
What do you mean you'll never see them again?
We're dead. They're alive.
Well, but they'll die, of course.
Why?
Eventually. Everybody does. You know that.
Oh. Well, at least we get to see them once more.
But to wait a lifetime.
No, my dear. It'll hardly seem longer than drawing in a breath and breathing it out again. We're dealing with eternity here, you know.
Well, perhaps that's the way it happens. Perhaps it isn't. All we can do is pass the story along to you as it came to us. Each of us, whether he is aware of it or not, has his own thoughts upon death and what follows it, based on what he has witnessed, what he feels in his heart, and maybe on what he has heard on Mystery Theater. I'll be back shortly.
Box 576, New York 10016. That's Box 576, New York 10016.
give you a follow-up on what happened after the end of our story. We are not privy to that information. We like to believe, and do believe, that all went well and that we've given you as happy an ending as a story about death can have. Our cast included Augusta Dabney, Robert Dryden, Joan Shea, Nat Polan, and Robert Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
He's trying to make a deal with you, Henry. But don't trust him. Don't trust him. He wants you off guard so he can kill you.
Let me alone. All these people are looking at me.
Some other people are looking at you too, Henry. Guys from the camp. Guys from your bunk. Look at us, Henry.
Shut up. A man's asking me a question.
It's Joe Turner, Bobby Moretti, and Harry. Look at us. We're all here. And we're all dead. And we're all asking you one question. When are you going to kill him?
How can I be sure?
You don't want to be sure. You want the girl, the money.
How can I kill him if I'm not sure?
But we're sure. Each one of us. And you've got to kill him.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Virtually all hope has been given up of finding any survivors from India's worst coal mine disaster. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. India's director of mines has said 372 miners presumably perished in an explosion and ensuing flood of a mine some 160 miles northwest of Calcutta. The waters are reported to have filled the mine to a point some 700 feet above the level at which the men were working. Officials estimate over 110 million gallons of water filled the coal colliery, and even with 500 rescue workers and five high-pressure pumps working around the clock, it could take 10 days to drain the mine. Leaders of India's ruling Congress party have given Prime Minister Indira Gandhi a mandate to continue her tough emergency rule, as well as make sweeping changes in the Constitution. The party's working committee, that's a policy-making body which includes Mrs. Gandhi and senior cabinet ministers, approved a resolution saying there could be no early relaxation of the state of emergency. The full party on Monday is expected to rubber-stamp approval of its working committee's decision. More CBS News after this message.
New Year's Day, there's top-flight college football on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. I'm Connie Alexander, CBS Radio Network Sports. On New Year's Day, I'll be in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl, along with Tom Hedrick, to bring you all the exciting play-by-play as the Razorbacks of Arkansas meet the Bulldogs of Georgia in this great postseason college classic. Listen for the Cotton Bowl, New Year's Day, yours exclusively on radio over most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
For hundreds of years, alcoholic people have been beaten, dunked, pilloried, jailed, and threatened with eternal damnation, all without a single cure. Because alcoholism is not a crime. It is not a sin. It is an illness. An illness that can be treated successfully. For information or for help, write Alcohol, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland.
This message is a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Attorney General Edward Levy was the featured speaker before a Sunday gathering of law professors in Washington. CBS News correspondent Jed Duval was there.
A congressional subcommittee had demanded to see the secret list of American firms boycotted by Arab nations, and Commerce Secretary Rogers Morton had refused until a compromise was worked out. Levy reminded assembled law teachers that more than 100 confidentiality statutes are on the books and wondered why Congress tried to overlook them.
Is it to be the conception of good government that the Congress, which passes the law and states that the items are to be kept confidential, is free itself to ignore that confidentiality? The problem has nothing to do with executive privilege or the division of powers. It has to do with the trust which should exist and should be lived up to between a government and its masters, who are the citizens.
The Attorney General, who had defended Morton's refusal to turn over the boycott list, said he operated without instructions from the Ford administration, said indeed he doubted the administration had a position on release of the boycott list. Jed Duval, CBS News, Washington.
More CBS News in a moment.
Time, July 25th, 1886. David Farragut, naval hero of the Civil War, is honored by his country with the rank of admiral. This is James Drury with Navy Chronicle. David Farragut is one of the most important naval officers to serve during the Civil War. Although a Southerner, Farragut chose to fight for the Union, and under his leadership, the Union Navy and Army capture New Orleans and Mobile. The victory over the South at New Orleans is said to be the most decisive naval battle of the war. It is at Mobile during the attack that Farragut utters his famous phrase, "Damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead." Congress creates the rank of Rear Admiral for him in 1862, Vice Admiral 2 years later, and finally Admiral in 1866. Admiral David Farragut, a great man in naval history.
You've been listening to Navy Chronicle, an historical series with James Drury and the U.S. Navy Band.
Food and Drug Commissioner Alexander Schmidt doesn't take kindly to the suggestion that since a number of former FDA scientists have moved on to jobs in the pharmaceutical industry, a form of deferred bribery is going on.
I think whoever calls it a deferred bribe system has a nasty mind. The FDA has relatively few people coming from industry into the agency or going from the agency into industry. I think this is a national problem. It's a problem with all regulatory agencies. I think that the answer has to be legislation. We have very tight conflict of interest rules in the agency. We look very carefully at any opportunities for conflict of interest.
Schmidt, who appeared on the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation, also said an FDA reevaluation of whether cyclamates are carcinogenic, that is, cancer-causing, may result in a limited reintroduction of the artificial sweetener. The discoverer of cyclamates, Stamford, Connecticut chemist Dr. Michael Svita, took exception to Schmidt's position that he's looking for a clean bill of health for cyclamates, that anything less would not allow him to put them back on the market. Svita says he feels Schmidt's statements, coming as they do at this time, are improper in that they could prejudice the members of the committee, which is to reevaluate cyclamates next month. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, the time, 11:06.